This call is being recorded.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm awesome. I am, off the chart. Praise the Lord.
I know that's right.
You got to be awful. If you get on the chart, you're just like everybody else.
Say, we off the chart, huh? Let me join in on that. We off the chart, huh?
We off the chart, praise the Lord. Because we on a good one. Hey, brother, Dewan, how are you?
Pretty good, brother. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. I saw you had just called. I couldn't answer because I was going on Bible
study. I know. I figured that, Pastor. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yep. There you go. How's your week going?
Very excellent, 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 excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Very good. Great. Great.
Praise the Lord. What about you, Sister Hawanda? How's the week going?
It's going great. It really is. It's going great. Bible study at the JRC was great. And then I called to check on KJ, and then somebody was like, "Who they have the residents that pick up the phone?" And he was like, "KJ is so MF and cool. He's doing much better, like you know." But he was so enthusiastic with it, you know. Outside of his cuss, and it just put a big smile on my face, you know.
Hallelujah! I'm giving God a hand clap praise.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Keep it
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so that put a big smile on your face, didn't it?
Yes
it did. Then I also had ended up talking to Mama Monroe. I had ended up calling her because I had ended up giving her just like a testimony. I ended up giving her a keychain from the Bahamas, and but I had also bought shot glasses. And then when we had a conversation about the keychain, you know, I had to, you know, how you give a message, but there's always a message for you. And then she was like, you know, questioning, hey, what did I give her the keychain for? And you know, with those responses, and then what came to me as I was sleeping the other night, and it's like everything we do is a seed. And I realized I had gave the shot glasses to my kids, and then Holy Spirit was like, no. I instantly got up that morning like texting them like, throw that away. You know, like the devil is a lie. Because then my daughter like, no, that's just a souvenir. The devil the devil is a lie. In the natural, it's just a souvenir. Yeah. But in the spirit, that's a seed, and that ain't the kind of seeds I'm sowing into my kids. Like,
Hallelujah, it's powerful. Right?
Yes, and it had just came hit me, and I was like, wrestling with it. You know how you do spiritual warfare through your sleep, you know, and that thing came up. And then so I had just called her and shared that with her, because I know it was the impact of me giving the keychain to her and then also receiving, you know what I'm saying, what she was saying about it and applying that part, you know what I'm saying, to my life. I believe that everything we do was a seed, but it was that specific thing about that. Mm-hmm. So that's what came back to my remembrance. So I had called to share that with her, and she called me back, and we had a nice long chat.
Lord, yes, she shared with me that you and she talked, and it blessed her heart that you all were, you know, getting to that level. right?
Yes.
Because Evangelist is really a very brilliant woman. I think the closer you get, the more, you know, there's a thing in the Bible called the transference of anointing, right? And that's what happened with Elisha and Elijah. When he put the mantle on him, transferred the anointing, and then gave him a double blessing so that he would do twice as much as his predecessor. And so and so when we are talking to people that have an anointing on them and they love us, they end up transferring some of that anointing through talk. Talking with them. You start getting another portion and another level of things. So I was really very blessed that that happened. Very grateful.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Amen.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to give it about two or three more minutes to see who joins us. And if no one does, we know where we're at. We're in the book of Romans. We're in the 11th chapter. And we'll go ahead and move forward, and they can join as they join. Because we know that the Lord has, you know, he has purpose and intent over everything he does. So if there's three, that means there's three meant to hear it. If there's 300, we're meant to hear it. So we don't ever worry about he's here. We just worry about him being here. Praise the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So we are in the book of Romans, the 11th chapter. Before we go into it and have prayer, what do you remember from Romans 10, 9, 8? Anybody?
Well, I know it was going into us folks. The main focus has been that there is now no condemnation, you know, so that we can move forward, basically talking about us not condemning ourselves, knowing that that can keep us from moving forward, and then basically to walk in the spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you know.
That's it. Come on, give me some more. You talking. What else?
Yeah, that was just the main thing that just stuck out. Like, and then actually, you know, where people have a zeal of godliness and denying the power thereof. So making sure we receiving all of it, the fullness of the Most High, not just the Father and the Son, and rejecting the Holy Spirit, because that's where the change and the transformation come in. That's where we lay down the religion and pick up the relationship part, you know.
Yes, ma'am. That's that zeal part, remembering the part that says they had a zeal of God but without knowledge.
Yes. Right?
And to remember that it's about knowing, right? Knowledge is knowing. That it's about knowing. If you know him, then you can have when you have the knowledge of God, then you should have the zeal, right? Because you know.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, that makes so much sense.
Some people do it the backwards way. They start off with the zeal and don't go get the knowledge. But he wants us to get the knowledge and then to implement zeal. Then it's balanced.
Yes,
properly.
Because the knowledge is the knowing, and that's what Holy Spirit is. It's all knowing. So, because it's outside of your knowledge and that you know, feel like you gained on your own, you know. You get to realize that, hey, all this credit and everything I know and everything I have, the glory and honor belongs to the Most High, and I ain't did nothing.
All right, Brother Duan, coming to you. What have you pulled out of the last couple of chapters and last couple of Bible studies? Anything?
There's no condemnation. The ones who go out their way to receive the knowledge of God. Yes.
Yep. Yes. No beating yourself up anymore.
No beating yourself up. Yes. Being like, oh no, I'm not this smart. I don't remember stuff. Yeah.
Come on now. Right.
And try to separate up your knowledge of the word and stuff like that. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I love that. Right. Because I think that's one of the bigger things. It's 5:40 now. We'll have prayer in a second. But I think that's one of the bigger things that we as in our culture do to ourselves because we don't have the education, right? Mm-hmm. We may not have gotten that degree that we wanted, or, you know, we may not have, you know, we weren't around a lot of smart people. And a lot of times our lack of confidence in what we think we know mm-hmm. keeps us from going into arenas that we need mm-hmm. to be in, right? But it's really interesting that in the book of Corinthians, Paul says this, God takes the foolish things of life to confound the wise. When you get a degree from Holy Ghost University, you're smarter than 99% of the people on the planet.
Yes.
And that's why we read through the Bible and pick up little pieces. We need to get our degree, and we need to graduate so the Holy Ghost can take us where he needs to take us, because we can't sit around and tell people that they have a destiny in God and they never reach it.
Right.
What is the point of you telling me I got destiny? God called me full purpose. God put you're somebody special. If I never accomplish it or achieve it, then I sort of kind of go, well, either that preacher was lying or the Bible is lying. But God called us into a destiny. And the only thing that's keeping people from their destiny, God bless you, sister. That is our sister from Jamaica Key, Sister Donna. Mm-hmm. There you go. And I just wanted to read a movie. Hey, Sister Donna.
Hello, everybody. God bless.
Hello, God bless.
And so we're reading Romans, the 11th chapter, Sister Donna.
Okay.
Right? We're going to start with the second. We're going to have opening prayer. I'm going to turn opening prayer over to you tonight, and closing prayer is going to be Sister Hawanda. Okay? But we were talking about destiny. So what sense does it make for us to sit back and tell people God called you for purpose, you have a destiny, and most people never accomplish that? And the only way you're not going to accomplish is if you don't get the knowledge of God instead of the zeal. The knowledge becomes twice as important as the zeal. This is why the prophet said, my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. He didn't say they weren't perishing because of zeal, but it's the knowledge that's holding them back. It's knowing who they are. It's knowing how their father thinks. It's knowing what his requirements are. And then once we get those things sort of kind of solidified under us, and we know the word, I'm telling you right now, no devil in hell go hold you back ever again. Praise the Lord.
And we sell ourselves short too, Pastor.
Never again. What did you say, Duane?
We sell ourselves short of knowing the knowledge of God too, Pastor.
Well said.
We sell ourselves short. We fall short on certain things about the word and everything. Yes. Yep. So we don't get the whole word in us and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we do.
You preach it now, young man. Keep it up. Sister Hawanda, open us up in prayer. Let's go ahead and get started.
You want me to
Sister Donna. Brother Wallace, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Yes. Go ahead, Sister Donna.
All right. Thank you. Father, we thank you for another day, oh God, appreciating you, Lord, for allowing us to come to this line, Lord, for food once again. Lord, we look forward to being fed, Lord. We know that we ain't going to be slack, and we know that when we leave here, we're not going to be hungry because we always get good food on this line, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for bringing us here, and we thank you for allowing us to make it. Bless those who can't make it, Lord, and want to, and for those that still come and bless them as well, oh God. Father, we thank you for all that you got for us. We got our listening ears on, and we got our attention just turned to you. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, as we tell everybody when we in church, feed us, don't cheat us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Don't fell in love. Amen. Amen. Brother Wallace, the 11th chapter of Romans.
Yes, sir.
If you are ready, sir.
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. So let's read. Let's stop where the Spirit, pay attention to where the Spirit puts question marks and listen to it and stop what we need to discuss.
Amen. All right. Verse 11. I'm sorry, chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scriptures say of Elijah? Or don't you know what the scriptures say of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what said the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work.
Oh, boy.
That's a mouthful right there.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. What is it saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
You got to work to the honor of God to see the blessing receive everything. Yes. You got to work for it.
Say that again?
You gotta work for the power of God, you know, for the relationship with God, if you want to prosper, like, something like that. Yes.
I'm gonna write that down.
What just came to me out of that is like basically don't take them for granted. You know, people think they can do something. You know. Continue to do something, and then it be, you know, if they, you know, look to the grace, you know, to his grace, you know, for forgiveness or whatever it may be, instead of, like, you know, actually putting in the effort and the work, you know, because you got to do some things to get some different results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what was coming up for me.
Okay.
I just want to go a little easier version, make it more sense. So too, at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. So basically, what I get from it is that God has chosen a chosen people by him. So
come on.
The works that someone is based on the grace given by God. That's the basis of it anyway, because grace would no longer be grace if it was based on works.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That makes sense.
Amen. Everybody agree to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the remnant. Amen. If it's chosen, it's remnant. If it's chosen people, I get that.
I'm going to read 1-5. Brother Tavon read it for us. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it just a little bit differently, just so you catch it, right? Verse 1 is based on verse 21 in chapter 10. Verse 1 is based on verse 21 in chapter 10. If you look at 21 in chapter 10, it says, but to Israel he said, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So you're saying God has been reaching for people every single moment of every single day. Most people's trouble is God's reaching for them. Mm-hmm. Most people's trials and tribulation is a way of God allowing Satan to do what he's doing so that they get into a place where they get sick and tired of it and want to turn to something, and then grace steps in.
Mm-hmm.
If they're willing to turn, grace steps in, right? And so he says then, now I'm going to read 11:1. I say then, what I'm trying to say is what that means. Has God cast away his people because he allows them to go through these things? No, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite. I'm one of them. I'm of the seed of Abraham, and I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Now let me give you a quick synopsis of the tribe of Benjamin. David, right, the king, was the one king that came into being that was not of the tribe of Benjamin, because if you were not of the tribe of Benjamin, you were not leadership class. Right? So the tribe of Benjamin was a specific tribe, and this is what he's pointing out, right? I too am of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And I want you to pay attention to the word foreknew. Foreknew. Mm-hmm. In other words, he knew them before, as Jeremiah said, before they entered into their mother's womb. A people had been called into being, a nation had been called into being in order to be the people of God that he foreknew, and they became more disobedient over time, and over time they became disobedient, then they turned back to God, and then over time they would become disobedient. And you see all of that in the Old Testament over and over, right? Over time they started getting so caught up in something that they would turn away from the oracles and the principles that God had instilled for them to live by. Now, let's talk about the word foreknew. Everybody ready for this? So if you go back to, and you were to look up right now online, what is the oldest culture, right? And you'll find that by way of saying, you know, what's the oldest skeletons that have been found that have been carbon dated, right? There's two types of dating. One is called carbon dating, and the reason it's carbon C14 is what they use. Because in your body, there's this carbon that every so many thousands of years, it depletes, even after you're dead. So even though you're dead, this is like they talked about dead men's bones. Hallelujah. This is why I said that God put life back in some dead men's bones, and they rose up and became an army, right? Because even though you're dead, your bones still have life in them. So they're retrograding. Everybody get this? You with me? I don't want to talk over anybody's head. So your bones were, and Donna can attest to this because she's in the nursing field and she knows this. Your bones still retrograde. So they have a process to take a old skeleton and find out its date, how long it's been on the planet, and so forth and so on. It's called carbon dating. Carbon dating will allow you to go back 50,000 years accurately. Got that? 50,000 years. So they can look at how much C14, how much carbon is actually coming out of the bone, and they can go, okay, like a tree ring, right? We all know that a tree, you can tell the age of a tree that when you cut it, you look at the rings inside the tree, it tells you how old the tree is, how many years it's been there, right? So your body has the same kind of a concept built into it that God did. Get it? Right? So now, over 50,000 years, carbon dating is no longer effective. They use something called radiological dating. With radiological dating, they can tell by the amount of, I don't know if it's radium or radiation itself that comes out of the body, how old the bone is. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because when they radiologically date human skeletons that they find, the oldest is according to their radiological dating, not me, them, is about 3.5 million years old. Mm-hmm. 3.5 million years. And the closest thing to it is about 1.5 million years old. If you go to all these other continents and they dig up and find old bones and fossils and they radiologically date it. It turns out that it's only about 1.5 million. So the bones that are 3.5 million years old, it would appear that that's where life started. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then from there, life morphed out from continent to continent to continent. Let me tell you where the oldest radiologically dated bones have been found, and this should be like a blessing to you, prayerfully. All right, here we go. The oldest is called the hominin skeleton. So it says the oldest hominin skeleton ever found was in South Africa, and they named it Littlefoot. And it belongs to the genus Australomyptis culture, and it is found to be over 3.67 million years old. It is the most complete hominin skeleton globally, older than 1.5 million years. So that's a whole 1 million years ahead, right? Almost twice as old. So the oldest known human remains are the skulls found in Jebel Arhoud, which is an archaeological site in Morocco. So next to the African skull, and that South African part happens to be Ethiopia. Are you listening?
Yes. Amen.
And so if he foreknew, then that means he created a people that he intended to be the blessing to the universe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was his original choice. And if you go back and we utilize that as harmony, I'm not saying that it's the truth, but if you use the radiological dating, you would think, well, he was talking about some dark-skinned folks.
Hallelujah.
I want you to hear this, because when we read the rest of this, it's going to bless your heart when you look at it from that perspective, when you look at it from the perspective, right? So when you talk about Israel, which Paul says, I too, born of Abraham, am an Israelite. So most of the Hebrew Israelite cultural tribes all began coming out of Africa, not the other way around. So you might want to write this down so you can go check it, please. Right? So there's a difference between Hebrew Israelite, Israel, and Jewish. Anybody know the differences? Ooh, great question. I got my superstar students
skin
on
tone.
Here.
I'm going to say again? Skin tone. Skin tone.
Skin tone? Okay. So what? So if I were to say to you, that guy's a Hebrew Israelite, and then 3 minutes later we see somebody and say, oh, he's a Jew. And 3 minutes later I say, oh, he's Israel. Did I say three different things or the same thing?
Pretty much you said the same thing in three different ways.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody agree?
Yeah.
You agree, Dwan? Praise the Lord. Brother Tavon?
It sounds as if you're saying the same thing, but I don't know. I mean, because you say it. Israelite, Israel, Hebrew Israelite.
Hebrews and I'm sorry, I'm gonna wait.
So, what were the three again? Israel.
If
Israel?
I say to you, Hebrew Israelite, right? If I said Jew, and then Israel.
No, I don't believe the same.
I'm gonna change and recant too. I'm gonna say that Hebrews and Jews are different. At least that's what I was taught. Hebrews. Well, they said Jesus was a Jew. Let me get that. And wait a minute. Jesus was a Jew, and I'm trying to say Moses was Hebrew. So
right.
I'm going to say that's different.
Are we going somewhere now? They are different.
Yes.
So let me explain that so we're not confused, right? Because this is Holy Ghost University. Right? And so we don't want to be confused. We want to know what we're talking about. We want to know what other people are saying, because a lot of times if you don't have the right information, you're going to misconstrue the information you get.
Because
we can only process through the knowledge that you have. Right? Everybody get that? Something else.
Right.
If someone were today to say to you, I'm talking about Israel, they are talking about a state.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about that country that's called Israel.
Mm-hmm.
However, the people in Israel may not even be the original Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Got that? Secondly, the Hebrew Israelites are all the tribes that spoke Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
All 12 of them. They were different cultures based on the 12 sons of Jacob who became Israel. He became Israel. God called him. I'm changing your name. You're no longer Jacob. You're now Israel. Mm-hmm. And so all 12 of his kids, now watch what I'm getting ready to say.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the 12 children that he had, the first five children came by way of his Egyptian concubine. Because Rachel couldn't have any.
Right.
The next five, I'm sorry, not by his Hebrew concubine, not by the Egyptian concubine. It was by Rachel's sister Leah, right?
That's right.
Rachel's sister Leah has the first five kids, right? Mm-hmm. She has Benjamin, she has Judah, she has, I can't remember all of their names right now, but she has five, mm-hmm. right? Then, out of jealousy and envy, Rachel sends her handmaiden, who's an Egyptian handmaiden, and sends her in to have children. So they look different culturally. Mm. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Right? And then ultimately, when Rachel's out of her envy and wanting kids and needing to be statued and statured in her husband's eyes, when her sister Leah gets this, she turns around and sends in her handmaiden to marry him. So now he's got three wives, right? Right? Mm-hmm. And then she has kids by Jacob, right? And her handmaiden is of different culture. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is getting good, right? And then Rachel petitions her husband and goes and starts an argument with him and says, why am I barren? She gets mad at him, and Jacob turns around and says to a woman, listen, you need to talk to God about that. What do I have to do with your barren womb?
Mm.
She then goes to God and petitions God, and then she has the last two children, which were Joseph and Benjamin. I'm sorry, Benjamin was the last boy, right? Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph ultimately goes into Egypt, becomes one of the second-hand man to Pharaoh. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about Hebrew Israelites, and these people are impacting, think about Joseph. Joseph then takes on an Egyptian wife that Pharaoh gave her. In fact, he gave her a wife. He gave him a wife by the name of Potiphera, right? And you know that he had a stint with a man named Potiphar. Gives him a woman by the name of Potiphera. This is in Genesis 42. Potiphera, right? Because Pharaoh wants to bless them because Joseph became the answer to all of Egypt's problems. And so his children become great leaders in that country, right? And they marry people in that country, and they produce children. These are all Hebrew Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone out of that lineage went out and created their own circumstance, their own community, right? And each community became part of that Hebrew Israelite nation. And they spoke Hebrew. They practiced all of the Hebrew traditions of a special way to kill your lambs and your animals, because you couldn't introduce fear into the animal before you killed it and ate it. So there's a certain way you had to take the life of that animal in order to eat it and consume it. And even right now in Africa, there are many parts of Africa where these traditions are still being lived out. thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years later. There is even, everybody with me on this? There is even in Israel, the state, they even opened up their doors. If you remember, you'll kind of catch this. They were searching for the lost tribes of Israel. And the majority of the people that were coming and moving into Israel were black.
Mm.
Anybody listening?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
They were people just like us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you say Israel, we are talking about the state. Now let's talk about Jew. When you talk about the word Jew, how that word came about was when the when David's descendant, it was actually Solomon's grandson. When he was supposed to become king, he was crude. He was an authoritarian, right? Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the descendant. He was supposed to become king. Jeroboam was the son of one of the prophets, and the people didn't want to stay up under Israel because they saw the cruelty of Solomon's grandson. And so Rehoboam takes 10 tribes and says, we're going to create our own culture, and that culture becomes what we read in the Bible called the Samaritans. The two tribes that were left were Judah and the city of Jerusalem. And if you take this Jerusalem off and you take the duh off, you come up with the words Jew. Was that too much for you? Did everybody get it? Following this? So a Jew became someone that was from Judah or Jerusalem, because they were the only two states that stayed up under Yahweh doing things according to the scriptures, while the other 10 tribes who fell up under Jeroboam began to function and pull in other gods and start taking on other cultural ways. They began to think a little bit differently, and they slowly but surely disassimilated themselves from all of the traditions. And so this is why Jesus said to the apostles, don't go in by way of Samaria, because he knew that that was a tainted group of people, the 10 tribes. That's Samaria. Amen. The 10 tribes. But they were still Hebrew Israelites because they still spoke Hebrew, and they were from the 12 tribes originally. Everybody get it?
Yes.
So now when someone says Hebrew Israelite, you'll know that's someone that's of the 12 tribes. And a lot of people don't know any difference. That's why they just kind of say it all together and think a Jew and a Hebrew Israelite and the concept of Judaism. So nowadays, Jews are the people who practice Judaism. They are people who follow the first five books of the Bible called the Torah. The first five books. And nothing exists outside of that. Now watch this. There are also people who do not accept Jesus as being the Messiah. Everybody with me? There'll be people who still keep two refrigerators in their house. They have to keep two sets of silverware, right? Because the Feast of Unleavened Bread requires that you do not use a fork, a spoon, or any other item in your house that's ever touched anything that had yeast in it. The two refrigerators are because of what happened to Jacob with the breaking of the thigh, right, by the angel, right? And then God says something about the milk of a cow has to be dealt with a certain way. So they have two refrigerators in their house because the milk and the meat have to be in totally separate refrigerators. So if you ever walk in somebody's house and you see two refrigerators, you know you're dealing with a actual Jew. And when they talk about the Feast of the Unleavened, anybody getting this? When they talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is just a bit of history. Feast of Unleavened Bread, whatever silverware they use throughout the year, they have to take that silverware, put it in the drawer, put it away, and then they have to go through their whole house and anything that bread has touched, anything that had flour on it, anything that has touched anything you make bread out of has to be cleaned up for that one feast.
Yes.
Anything that has flour in it, anything, why? Because I would ask myself, I think you probably go, why would they do all that? Why is it so difficult? Because they believe that a little leaven.
Leaven at the lump.
Leaven's the whole lump. So it's a pride issue, right? So they don't want you to grow in pride and get so accustomed to those things. So every once a year, you have to eradicate all that and go back to a place of humility and start all over again. So you always remember God and Yahweh and remember that I'm a nobody other than what God has done. So I have to clean up everything.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Anybody get it?
Yeah.
We're talking about the word for new. So when you think about for new, that implies that it's a people that I put on the planet that I really for new. I wanted them to be there and they were supposed to be the blessing. And if that's the case, when you go back through history, he may have been speaking specifically to the Ethiopian African nation, which is where most Hebrew Israelites were formed out of. They moved into Egypt. They moved into Jerusalem. If you notice your Bible and you go to Acts, the 10th chapter, you'll find that there was the Barnabas and all these prophets. These were black men.
Yep.
Hey, man, we read it before, right?
Yes.
These were people of Africa. They were the prophets and the leaders, the people who told the people what God wanted from his church.
Right.
And Paul was actually up under them. Not over them. He was under them. Everybody get it?
Amen.
All right, so let's keep reading. I want to make sure you get the history of this because you'll read it differently, right? You'll get it differently. It will assimilate differently. So he says, I say then, has God cast away all of his people? No, God forbid, for I tell him it is like of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture said from Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel, meaning Elijah was asking God, why don't you just destroy them because they're just so disobedient they won't do what you've asked. Now if you attribute that to our culture, you'll understand why we don't have issues in our community. We have curses in our community. Let me try it again. We don't have issues. Most communities have issues. Our culture has what looks more to me like curses, right? Who destroys themselves at this rate? Who hates their own people enough that even when you do well, they won't applaud you?
Amen. No white people. You got that right. Yes.
Amen. We can talk about this, right? Right. And so it's a clarion call from God to really try to bring us back into the fold because we were called to be the blessing to the universe.
Yes, to everybody.
Oh, my God. Help me, somebody.
Yes,
you were
everybody.
Called to be a blessing
on a
universal level.
Yes,
universal.
Amen.
Let's keep reading. All right, so we got all the way down to five, right? So three, two we just read over. Three, Lord, they have killed your prophets and dig down your altars, and I am all alone and they seek my life. Verse four, but what says the answer? What was God's answer unto Elijah? He said, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men. Everybody see that? who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of my grace. What was he telling Elijah? Elijah, when I call somebody by grace, it don't matter whether they went to theology school.
Hallelujah.
When I call someone to be called, it doesn't matter if they've got a college degree or a master's degree or PhD, because that's an act of work to get something that I instill in my people by grace. Anybody get that?
Yeah, amen.
And so if we don't, you know, kind of look at this in the right manner, you'll think just because someone is Dr. Reverend Dr. So-and-so, right, and the only way that Reverend is supposed to be in front of your name is if you have a master's degree in divinity. Anyone calling themselves a Reverend is supposed to have a master's degree in divinity. That's according to the law and according to the rule, not according to the Bible, but according to the law. Everybody got that?
Yes.
All right. So, Reverend Doctor something. But now pay attention to what Jesus said when a man walked up to him and said, good master. Jesus' reply was, why call ye me good when there's none good but God? So if Jesus wouldn't take a title,
Amen.
Can we talk? Let a man acknowledge him and take a title and take glory away from God. What are we looking at really? Praise the Lord. Yeah. What are you really looking at? And so he's saying, when he goes to this point four, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I've reserved unto myself 7,000 men. He was saying, I raised them up without anybody even teaching them. I did it. I dropped grace into their life. I dropped an anointing on them. I dropped an appointing on them. And you don't even know that they exist. And you the man of God. But you don't know what I'm doing because I'm God. You don't know what I'm doing because I'm God. You're just a man of God. So go do what you do. I got some folk over there. They're going to help you even though you don't know. They're going to help you. They're going to reach into your sphere, your orbit, and they're going to be a blessing in some ways even though you don't know. So the remnant means I've already established some people, and some of you on this phone may be the established people of God that have been established in grace. You ain't going to have to go to theology school. You know, anyway.
You
get your degree from the university because we all think, hey, I got to go back to school. I need to do this. I want to get smarter. I want to get better. But I'm going to repeat to you what the book of Corinthians said in the 10th chapter. I'll take the foolish things of life and confound the wise. In other words, I'll take Joe DeWino and make him Reverend Dr. Somebody, and he won't have a degree because I will exalt him, and it ain't a matter of work. It's a matter of my grace. Now, and here's what I want to give you, so this is a memorable thing. When you understand that you've been called, you should work toward favor and not for favor.
When
you understand this part, that you have been called by someone through grace alone, you can now work toward your favor, and you don't have to work for any favor.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah.
Anybody receive that?
Yeah.
Work toward favor. In other words, work towards knowing God's grace, as he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Quit sitting up here murmuring and complaining about what you can't do and recognize my grace will get you through it. And so when you understand what he's saying, I called you. You are a remnant. You're called to do this thing right and be honest and be sincere in God. You're called to walk this walk. And I called you. And so it don't matter who trains you because the Holy Ghost has been training you for a long time. And at some point, what the Holy Ghost has done and what life has done is going to come together and become anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Yes. That was verse 5. So even so, mm-hmm. verse 5, even so then, at this present time, there's also, you see what Paul is saying? There's also a group of people, a remnant, according to the election of God's grace. You've been called by grace. And if you've been called by grace, you don't have to worry about how smart you think you are. You have to worry about how smart my God is. And if he sends me someplace, he sent me someplace to do amazing things, no matter how difficult they are. I'm there to do something amazing. I'm part of that remnant. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Tavon. Read verse 6. Everybody get on that? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't work for favor. Work towards your favor. You don't have to. You don't have to jump through hoops, stand in the fire. You don't have to do none of that. You just have to accept the fact that if I've been called, I'm something to God. Doesn't matter what people say. Amen. All right, let's keep going.
Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I'm sorry, verse 3. And if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. But then, Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Keep going?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
According as it is written, God have given them the spirit of slumber, eye that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And they said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them.
Let's stay right there. What does he mean in verse 9? And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Anybody?
Sister Melinda?
What do you think he's saying, verse 9? And David said, let their table be made a snare and even a trap and a stumbling block as a recompense. Recompense means repayment. We know that. Unto them. What could he be saying to the people of God?
You may have stumbling blocks, but keep going. In favor of God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right? Sister
I'll
Wanda?
Give it a shot and say, what's coming to me is he'll give them enough rope to hang theyself, if I could say it.
Okay. There's no wrong answers now. Let's not get stuff in bondage. There's no more answer. I just want you to think about it. Go ahead.
I knew I was coming next. I just say, so when I think of a snare, I think of a drum. For some odd reason, it just keep coming as a drum. Or a hold up. So it's like they're being held up. And let them figure out the repayment. Let them figure out how they want to pay God back, because look, they're not going to be able to do it, period. That's what I'm looking at. They're not going to be able to do it, but they're going to have to figure it out on their own. That's how
Amen. Anybody else want to take a shot? Let me ask this question. This will be helpful. Let their food, what's on their table, become the snare and a trap and a stumbling block. What's typically on the table?
Most of the time, food.
Food.
Mm-hmm.
And what is food?
Mm-hmm.
If you left food on the table, what would happen to it?
It would dry out.
It becomes perishable, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So David, could he be saying that David said, let the folks that's chasing the perishables instead of God, let that become their stumbling block.
Yeah.
Right? When the car, the house, when the jewelry, when the clothing, whether it's Imani or whether it came from Kmart, if it's it's got to be Imani, let that be the stumbling block. In other words, let that thing be the thing that blinds them to keep them from finding me because my father purposefully blinded them.
The natural things, the worldly things.
Mm-hmm. Could he be saying that?
Yes, he could be.
Yep.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Right? And that the worldly things could be blinding people to the presence of God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? Because we can get busy chasing needs, right, and chasing wants. We can get busy doing that because we sometimes forget that the Bible says, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. And so sometimes people get so caught up in chasing the perishable things, they miss the imperishable. And it becomes a form of blindness. And it becomes a form of disobedience. And they never quite get it, and you wonder, why don't they get it? When every time you're trying to tell them about the goodness of God, they're trying to tell you about they're getting ready to get a new car. You try to tell them how
keep on having outward experiences instead of inward experience.
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's keep going. So perishable things, he's saying, David said, okay, let those perishable things become their stumbling block, the thing that keeps them from actually living rather than just surviving. Right? Verse 10.
Eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always.
Now, that sounds like slavery to me.
And say then, have they stumbled? That they should fall, I forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?
Wow. How much more would we have and how much more would we be if we turn back to God? And we have done that, right? If you're on this phone, we've done that. You turn back to God. And he's saying, now I'm going to take who you are and I'm going to elevate you above. Don't you find it interesting? He says that, I say that have they stumbled that they should fall. Verse 11 says, no, God forbid. But rather through the fall, salvation came to the Gentiles. We read this before. Remember, Tavon, we were talking about that. It moved over to the Gentiles because of our disobedience. And now you're saying, I did it because I wanted to make you jealous. I wanted to get you to be angry because you're watching how they're prospering and you're missing out. I did that on purpose. Oh, God. I did it on purpose.
But they'll never be fulfilled, though.
What Gentiles? Is that what you're saying, Sister Hawanda?
I said they'll never be fulfilled because they focus on feeding the flesh versus the spirit.
Yes. Could that be
until,
why
until they turn back? Because when they receive, you know, that's where the fulfillment comes from. So that's just like a worldly response. I want to make you jealous, you know what I'm saying, because I got this and that and that. But if you die, you can't take none of it with you.
Yeah, and that's well said. Praise the Lord. And I would think that he's not just talking about, remember, he just got through saying, let the perishable things be the stumbling block, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's not talking about the things that they have as Gentiles. Maybe he's talking about the lifestyle that they created, that we should have created, because we were the ones called to be these leaders of the universe, and they have our position.
Oh, okay.
Oh, glory. Maybe he's saying, do you know, I believe this, and then we'll continue to read, because I don't want to get everybody caught up on my thinking and what revelation I think I'm walking at. But I do believe that if there were black folks at the head of the country and at the head of all these countries, we're the only people that wouldn't be going around going, let's take everybody else's stuff. Our hearts are not shaped that way.
It's not.
Right? We would be the people that would want to see peace all over the place, because we don't really want to fight. We fight when we have to fight.
Yeah.
Come on.
I believe that the shoe got reversed, and the Gentiles ended up where we were supposed to be, which is why we have to restore ourselves as his people. And I think that's why he said, and how much more would it do if you were in your fullness? If you would walk in. Everybody get it? Praise the Lord. Right?
Yes, hallelujah.
Yep. Now go ahead, verse 13, Brother Tavon.
For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them.
Ooh, what was that? Wait a minute, what was that? If by any means I may provoke to emulate, which means to take on some of what you saw, emulate it, right? If I could provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, if I could get my people to get what those people are doing, and then take on what those people are doing so they can be restored to their fullness, it might save a whole lot of folks in our culture. You get it? You see it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that ain't too deep, right?
No, because what came to me is basically, it's actually reenacting itself of what we've been going through. You know, they've caused set these systems to cause trauma, so we can't operate at our fullest. So if we reverse it and don't be afraid to go back and do the healing work so we can operate from a healed place instead of that hurt place, then we can operate at our fullest.
How do we do that? What should we be doing? What does the Spirit say to you, Sister Hawan? What should we be doing?
The work. It's the healing work, and a lot of us are afraid to show up for ourselves in those ways, to go back and, you know, apologize where we need to apologize, accept, let go of the condemnation, the guilt, blame, and the shame, those things like that. So that we are not allowing ourselves to be held back, you know, because of those things, or operating from that place to where we're creating barriers instead of healthy boundaries, and trusting ourselves. And that way we can start trusting our people again, too, because how can we work together, you know what I'm saying, unless we agree and we ain't agreeing on nothing, because of life and these systems and societies have tainted that, you know, so really to be, and then be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to know, like you said, if we go back to the beginning, we already been the first people, and it's, you know what I'm saying, so we already great, and that's because of the heat that's on the inside of us, for real, you know, when we've been fooled and robbed out of everything and start repeating what they was telling us about ourselves, and spreading it on for generations to generations. So to rethink and relearn, we need to relearn some things, and then rethink them and transform our minds on top of that. So it's a lot of work that needs to be done, but we can do it.
We can do it. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to add on to that? Praise the Lord. We can do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
This was the one. I think the school system had a lot to deal with the wool over our eyes in American nation. Making schools because it's messing up too for us. So every school district too. School. Yep.
That's part again. Everyone's what?
It started with school. When school. When it first started. But some studies and all that stuff. We had to read the history books and stuff. We have teachers teaching Africa about Africa and stuff like that. And so,
you bring up a great point, Devon. Yes. Right? Why do you think they're taking African American history out of the schools?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no, you don't know who you are. You don't know your truth.
Yeah. Why do you think they're preparing, right? Why do you think they're preparing this whole defunding of the Board of Education?
Yeah.
Because the minute that they defund the Board of Education, then they go into what's called a voucher program.
Yeah.
And with a school voucher program, you get a voucher to go to a school that is already sort of kind of pre-described and privatized, and that school is going to be someplace in a country setting ran by specific people, and more often than not, you're not going to see very many African-American kids there or Hispanic. Privatizing the system gives them the ability to select who they want to educate.
You control our minds,
To control. Well, even worse, because if your mind is not educated, you're already under control. If you haven't gotten an education, they already know, because you're functioning out of the program that they've already initiated.
Come on.
There's a program running, and that program will make you think you're a Negro. That program will make you think that program will make you think that don't nobody love you. That program will make you think ain't no hope for my people. That program that they initiated inside of you has to be broken. And the only two ways to break it is by having a good education or having a real relationship with Christ. Because when you know who you are based on who God says you are, it breaks that program. It's a difficult thing to break. That's why so many people are in church, but then filter back out, because it's so hard for them to break the program. It's hard for them to believe what God says. So they get caught up in their own battle. That's why the last battleground is the mind. And what a lot of people don't know is that when Jesus Christ died, the place that he died on is called Calvary, right?
Yes.
He died in a place called Calvary, right? That's where he was crucified, correct?
Yes. Yes, correct.
All right. So the Greek word for Calvary is Golgotha. Right? The Hebrew Israelite word for Calvary is called cranium. In other words, he died in a place to send the final message: the battle is going to be in your mind, your cranium, your Golgotha, your head, your Calvary.
Come on.
Yes.
Being transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Therefore, be transformed, not conformed. Quit thinking like they told you to think. Quit acting like you can't get out of us. Get transformed into the way I'm telling you you can act. I'm telling you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm telling you that you can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. I'm telling you you're able to do things that you carnally don't believe you're able to, and there goes the battle.
Yeah, right there.
Can I do this? Am I able to do this? Does God love me enough for me to do it? Can I be a witness? Can I do this? And God is saying, yes.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Yes. But you have to break the program. You have to stop seeing and what they, let me give you this one. You'll love it. Anybody remember the Little Rascals?
Yep, I do.
We watched it. We laughed as kids, right?
Yeah.
Sit back and laughed at the little two kids, Steiny and what was the other one?
Alfalfa, right?
But we had Buckwheat and Steiny, the two black kids. Remember them?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody know what the name Steiny means?
Nope.
Let me show you the program. Let me show you the Matrix. Praise the Lord. Anybody know what Steiny means? Look it up, please, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically named this child Steiny for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They dressed him a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a certain appearance. Because they knew millions of kids would be looking at him, and they would be programming through him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody look at Steiny, the name Steiny, what does it mean?
What's the name?
Stymie.
S-T-Y-M-E. Stymie.
Stymie, okay.
Y'all ready for this? This is good stuff.
Yes.
At the end of it, it means stone.
Say it again.
It says it means stone. A female name means Stymie.
Uh-huh. Now, the meaning of the word stymie is to be hindered. There you go, you follow.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
Prevent or hinder the progress of.
Mm-hmm.
Hinder from what? Can you say that again, please? It means hindered from what?
It says
the progress.
Progress.
Yeah.
Hindered from progress.
Oh my goodness, man.
Prevent or hinder from progress.
Yes.
To prevent you from going forward, to hinder you from the progress that you're entitled to.
Yes.
Right?
Operate at our fullest. Yes, come on.
Hallelujah. And notice that they named the other black kid Buckwheat, and they named the other kid Alfalfa. If you notice between what Buckwheat is and Alfalfa, you would know that they, even in the names, they were telling a story, dog whistling to their own people.
Come on, they think they so slick, baby. Yes.
Now, who would have thought that program meant anything other than a good comedy program where you saw some kids, but they knew that you were watching, and they knew that they were imparting a word. Now, remember what your Bible says? Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
They knew what they were calling out of you, and you didn't know what they were calling out of you.
No.
Hindered.
No.
King problem.
Held back.
That's why he said the program has to be broken. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm talking to somebody. That program has to be broken. That doesn't mean that even where I'm at, I can't become like our sister Dr. Donna. I cannot become an LPN, an RN. But I'm saying when we get to the place where the program is fully fully dispelled out of our thought process, we're going to raise up from RN to telling all the doctors what to do. Because though they got knowledge, what they don't have is wisdom, and you were the original call to wisdom. That's why we read about the original people. You were the original call to wisdom to be the blessing. Donna, have you ever had any of those doctors or any of the other nurses coming to you for wisdom?
Just the other day. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, just the other day. Yes, they asked me, what did I think about the next brain surgery? What did I think and do I think it will prevail for my brother-in-law? And if I was the one who was doing the surgery, what would I do? And I told him, get it done. I told him, I think it would be prosperous. I think he would do better. And the family, they said, so as you being the ex-sister-in-law or whatever, they was like, what should we do? I looked at the family. I said, do the surgery.
And that's what, within the next 10 minutes, we was moving towards surgery. So,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And he's still kicking and he's still doing okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Tabon, yes. Are you paying attention to how many people come to you now for wisdom?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, what do you think about this? Are you paying attention to them?
Definitely.
Are you?
I definitely pay attention. I mean, more so now because of what I speak of, and what I speak about. You know, mm-hmm. because when you have vain conversations, I didn't really notice the seeking of the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the conversation mm-hmm. meaningful, I notice it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Truly.
Hallelujah.
So I try not to talk. I try not to talk too much
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
It's the discerning of the spirit mm-hmm. of the person for me to indulge because of what I'm learning. It's big. It's really major because I found out that just having conversations for the sake of a conversation when there's nothing, no substance in it, I stay away from those. I stay away from them. So
praise
now that people engage in what I love
mm-hmm.
and people, and I see that they're seeking, if that makes sense.
Hallelujah, it makes sense.
Sister yeah.
Hawanda, are you noticing how many people come to have to feed at the trough that God has given you?
Mm.
Yes, and all glory to the Most High.
Yes, ma'am.
I take no credit every time. I just know that I'm a vessel, and that's the reason why. That, you know, when you are willing vessel, He's able, you know. So.
Amen.
Mhm. Mhm. And so now, if we connect those three things, because I noticed it about 15 years ago, why are these people asking me so much? What? Mm-hmm. And I didn't get it at first until I realized what he meant when he said, "But I called you to be the head, not the tail."
Yeah.
And that's him preparing you for headship.
Hallelujah.
Anybody receiving this?
Amen. Amen.
You've been called by grace, and that grace is living in
Amen.
You. And people can know it. They can feel it. They know you got something they don't have, and we ain't trying to talk about self-exaltation. We know this is all to the glory of God, so let's not do that to each other. You don't have to worry about me ever giving me some glory. God is the one. But I'm saying you've got to also catch how he functions, because just like the devil has to work through people, God has to have somebody to work through. And if your heart ain't right, he can't work through you. So you should get a little bit of explanation, which is why he put in your Bible, give honor to whom honor is due. Don't take that from them, because if I find myself ready to use them, you ought to be able to applaud them. You ought to be able to encourage them. You ought to be able to tell them they somebody. Because in all reality, if I see them worthy of being used, you're somebody. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's God's way of talking to you in a natural setting. From a spiritual place, I'm sending souls to you. Pay attention to that. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Verse 15.
Pay attention to this, everyone.
For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be?
Oh my God.
But life from the dead. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root
if we
is holy,
get it right, we make the world right. Go ahead.
So are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And if the branches mm-hmm. be broken mm-hmm. off,
mm-hmm.
so or thou, being a wild olive tree,
mm-hmm.
were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of the branches be broken off
mm-hmm.
and die,
mm-hmm.
being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them,
mm-hmm.
and with them partakest of the root and the fatness mm-hmm. of the olive tree.
Mm-hmm.
Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou
mm-hmm.
bearest not the root, but the root thee.
It says
thou
wilt. Everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody get that? It's backwards. The
mm-hmm.
the root has the, look what it says. He says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, was grafted back in among them, and with them you partook in the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So what is the olive tree? Let me make sure we get that. The olive tree is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus Christ, just before he went to be crucified, he stopped there to pray for us in St. John, the 17th chapter. That's the one I just had to read, Brother Tavar, remember?
Yes.
That
yes,
he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane means the olive grove. And what the mm-hmm. olive tree represents is the more you're pressed, the more oil comes out.
Mm-hmm.
The more it's been distressed, the more oil comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And if the, so that's what he says. So and if some of the branches be broken off and thou being a wild olive tree, you were grafted back in among them, and with them you partake of the root and the fatness of the anointing that you were supposed
mm-hmm.
to receive.
mm-hmm.
But don't boast against those branches. Don't talk about what the Gentile has or what somebody else has got. Don't boast against the branch. The branch is just a branch. But if thou boast, thou bearest mm-hmm. not the root. But the root has got you. So what is he saying? I don't have to be envious of what they've accomplished. I need mm-hmm. to just learn mm-hmm. from it. I don't have
Hallelujah.
To laugh at who they are.
Hallelujah.
I need to learn from who they are. I don't need to sit back and complain about who they are. I need to compliment until I can get the understanding of this thing. You don't laugh at tragedy. You learn from it. You sit back and you gather information. You don't go to a job to earn a check. You go to a job to learn how the company is structured.
You come on.
Let me wrap myself back into it. I've been like, oh, God, I'm trying to tell you the truth. We're not somebody else is sit there for the paycheck. You sit there to learn the system. To open your own business. Be the blessing in the earth that God called you to, and then work with some people so that they can learn how to do the same thing that this other company does, but do it under anointing. And they'll get saved.
Hallelujah. Ooh, glory.
Everybody get that? Is that
glory.
Too much for us?
Nope.
Hallelujah.
You have to graft yourself back in. In other words, I don't just go to a job to sit there and go, I'm labor, what do you want me to do? I'm asking them some questions. Where do you buy these products from?
Mm-hmm.
You get them from a distributor, buy them from a wholesaler. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the wholesalers where in Japan, China, where do you get them from? Okay. Right, I got this. Okay, let me carry my boxes. Let me do whatever it is that I'm doing because I'm going to be the best box carrier you ever seen in your life because I'm filled with
Come
the Holy
on.
Ghost. And when it gets so close to you,
Amen.
You will start divulging the knowledge that I wish somebody would hear me. You're going to divulge the knowledge that I need in order to go out and duplicate with this thing because I'm not here to earn. I'm here to learn.
Amen. Glory.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm back and grafted into the olive tree. The oil can kick in. Praise the Lord. Anybody get it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Right? Amen. Don't go to earn anymore. Go to learn. What are they doing? How did they do this? What Mm-hmm. How did you set up this system? Who did this? Where's the accounting at? How do you account for all this? Who keeps up with the books? Who takes care of this? Where did the trucks come from? How did you get them? Right? And now, because again, and I reiterate, I've said it a million times in church, if you know what a dentist knows, it doesn't matter whether you've got an office or a shingle, you're a dentist. You can pull teeth. You can fix people's mouths. Because you need is the knowledge he has. You don't have to get money from the bank. I need to get knowledge from the bank so I know what the banker knows. Because if I have all the same knowledge the banker, the person that's running this bank has, I can start up a bank. Anybody listening?
Yes, that's the key.
Amen.
That's the key thing to know. Because knowledge is what's lacking. We so focused on, well, not us, but most people are so focused on all other things, prayer, fasting. But God says that his people are perishing for lack of knowledge. What you know. That's what we read the other week. When it said that the Jews had a zeal for God, but accurate knowledge of him. zealousness going on, if that's a word. But knowledge is key.
It's key.
Of the truth. Because I learned that you can have knowledge it's something false.
Yes, sir.
So it's important to understand that we're learning the truth.
Amen.
And I think I was wrong with the Sanhedrin council, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You know, I once heard that the Sadducees were sad, you see, and the Pharisees were false.
That was good.
And this being grafted in thing is profound, because how the Bible puts it is really good, you know. And to know the Israelites were the ones that he chose to be chosen people in the beginning.
Yes, sir.
The Bible talks about them being broken off and the Gentiles. They were not there on the back. And it was all to make the Israelites jealous so that they would come back in. That's amazing. But the question that keeps coming in my mind that I think about over and over is, jealous of what? The carnal mind would think that it's a materialistic thing. But I don't believe that's what the Bible is speaking of. Because what we lack, what we lost when Adam fell was dominion. And dominion comes in through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, and that's where power comes in. So just to function and operate the way the apostles did, Peter and Paul, and they were doing the miraculous. They were doing things like God-like things, partakers of the divine nature. If I was to see someone that was operating like God, I'm Israel. I am the Israelite, and this guy that I'm thinking in my mind, he don't even know who God is. I'm the seed of Abraham. I could just see him being
boastful and you know, thinking I'm the one. Abraham, you know, but here's this Gentile that's doing the miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to be jealous of.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it falls back on taking our dominion back, getting what Adam lost, not getting sick. Poverty doesn't exist in the culture of heaven. So we pray for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth, to live in that, and see someone living and operating and functioning in that. Yeah, you have a lot of jealousy and envy, especially when they, you know, quote unquote.
How do we take dominion back, Brother Tavon? Because you bring up a great point, and that is missing. What is that dominion? Right? Because I think a lot of people interpret dominion as being, I can go tell everybody what to do. That's, they think of dominion in it, but that's the carnal side of us. But what is spiritual dominion?
Is that for me?
Yes, it is. What is spiritual dominion? That I'm saying, you brought up the word dominion. How do we as a group of saints begin the process of learning to walk in dominion again?
Well, I believe it starts with, of course, the Holy Spirit, and to have the Holy Spirit and to stretch our capacity to be filled with more Holy Spirit, because that's from, that's what Adam lost, and Christ brought it back. So, to dominion is I'm speaking of the dominant power, dominance. To have to be over our circumstance, not under it. To have control the way Christ did. He controlled everything. He controlled the wind, the waves, the water. He controlled multiplying fish. Whatever he wanted, it manifested because of his dominion. Bossy or haven't, yeah, that's exactly what it is, carnality, to think we have power over people. The Bible teaches us that to have dominion over the earth, not our brethren.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
You know, most people do want to be, you know, that's what it's talking about, boast not. And that's, you know, I'm speaking personally. The pop that dominion requires a major amount of maturity because it's power. So without with the wrong characteristics, the Father is not going to grant it. Being out of God is one thing. But being a son of God is something different. I got a 17-year-old right now. He wants me to buy him a car. Mm-hmm. And he wants a, what is that? You know, the fast car. I forget the name. But it has a lot of power. Immature. I would be a fool to get him one of those cars. Because he's still a child. Same concept.
He wants
a muscle car. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hurt it. I think the word you're looking for is a muscle car.
Muscle car.
Right.
It was on the tip of my tongue. That Dodge. It's a Dodge. Beat on
Dodge.
Not a Charger, but the other one. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of, too much power for him. And somebody, I use myself as an example. What pulled me, what got my attention was the power. When I read the book of Acts and how they were just, I mean, it's amazing. I'm a true believer. So to believe these things, it's like, wow, they were really like this? they were doing these things this way. So, but the Holy Spirit told me it takes a major amount of maturity. And so you have to, we have to grow in that maturity. Or he's not, he's like my 17-year-old son. You're not ready. I mean, you can, you'll be destroying people. You get mad at somebody. Your character has to be intact. You have to be, you have to be fit. And the Bible speaks about being perfect in Christ. Now, you can, you grow into being a son. But I realize, so being born again of the Spirit, we're children, a child of God. Grow in grace and grow in Christ. Develop the mind of Christ. Get our character default in order. Now we're on our way. And I believe that comes by stretching the capacity. In the book of Acts, Peter prayed after he did a miraculous thing. And he said, he went back and prayed. He said, Father, they're not accepting your son Jesus. He didn't say they're not accepting me. He said, not accepting your son Jesus. Stretch your hand so I can perform more miracles for your glory. And the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit after he had already been filled. So that confused me. I'm like, hold on, wait. Because I know if I fill this cup up with water, I can't fill it anymore. So how is he filled? Has to be stretched. These things are kind of difficult to understand. It was for me anyway in the beginning. Because how do you stretch your capacity? And it goes back to what you were talking about, the knowledge of Christ and growing. It's a never stopping. It's always growth. It's always room for growth. Now, Christ, when he came out of the wilderness, he was filled to capacity. The Bible says, without measure. So the key is knowing, and the key is spirit. The Holy Spirit, because like we were talking about earlier, we can do nothing on our own accord.
No. The
Bible says that. You can do nothing on our own. So the Spirit, that's what Adam lost. That's what Christ brought back. But that's what's missing in a lot of believers. So the power lacks. The dominion lacks. Because it's just a little bit of Holy Spirit is just a little bit. Now, one person might have more than the other, so they can operate in a different dimension. So it's that's the key for me, and that's what I'm focused on, and that's what I'm growing in.
Amen and hallelujah. Amen. So the question was, how do we gain back our dominion? Because we are missing that. And I think that even you're absolutely right. I'm not absolutely right, Tavon. And the beginning of it is what Christ was the clue that Christ gave us at Calvary. We must control our minds. That's the beginning of dominion. Because if you can control your mind and keep yourself from slipping into places that God is not pleased with. Yeah, and that's why we have Romans 9:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus, because he's trying to tell you that's how you keep dominion. you recognize my responsibility is to keep me intact. My responsibility is to protect my heart and to grow and to continue to grow. Until I get mature enough that I can trust by faith the power that God is giving me. That's why it's an act of grace and not a works. It's an act of grace, not a works. I love what you said, Brother Tavon. Anybody else want to share on that subject before we close out tonight? How do you get dominion? How do you get your dominion back? How do you authoritate who God is in you over the circumstance that Satan wants to present to you, because that's where the dominion gets lost. He's always presenting some trick, always presenting something before our eyes that makes us have doubt and not believe that it's going to turn out good. We think everything, you know, you can get yourself messed up thinking everything is permanent. Nothing is permanent. Nothing. Even the houses we live in, we just rent. Somebody else moves in. You just rent it. But if you crazy enough, you'll think you own something. You think it's got my name on it. No, it's not permanent. It is a gift from God, and the more we steward over the gift, the more He just gives us gifts to steward over them. Dominion.
Amen.
Anybody else? Amen. How do we take back dominion?
I say we take it back by when we have those doubtful feelings, which I have experienced some, and I'm sure everybody has. Declare them back. We command them or demand them back. Like when the devil say, or when we get a doubtful spirit that says, you know, that's too hard for you, you ain't going to be able to do that. We can say, I speak power unto the fact that I can do that. And I will take dominion over every doubt that you are telling me I can't do. I take dominion over that, and I will do it. That is not in question. So I think by pretty much stepping on the devil's head or knocking down that doubtful spirit, that's a good way to take your dominion back over it.
Hallelujah. Casting down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's dominion.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Amen. Sister Yarber?
I'd say for us to surrender wholly. You know, it's easy for us to surrender some things, but it's more harder for us to surrender those things that's dear to our heart. So just surrendering, literally giving Him everything, like, not my will, but let your will be done, and us being able to accept what His perfect will is, that's how we take our power back, because we know that ain't nothing happening to us in that case, that it's happening for us. So it's also in the transforming of our mindset, because we ain't going to stop growing through situations. It's just how we grow through those situations. So actually finding the lesson and stop thinking we taking losses, you know. So
come on now, say that again. Finding what now? Say that again.
Finding the lesson and stop thinking we taking losses. Because in every situation, we growing through it. We ain't going through nothing at His children. Because all things work together for the good of them that love Yah and that are called according to His purpose. So believing His word and then standing on His word just like that. Because that's how we get to call His word back to Him, and that's what moves Him, is His word. And that's what's going to move the mountains and the situations and how the vibrations hit your body about whatever situation you growing through, what you tell yourself about what's actually going on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we can close right there. That was powerful. I believe that, you know, the last thing I would add is, everybody knows this scripture. They don't preach on it much, but it says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh the goods.
Come on.
You ain't heard many people say a word about that. But let me tell you what it's saying. The kingdom of heaven suffereth attack, and the attack is always forceful. We take dominion when we look at the attack and say, you ain't got nothing on me.
Oh my
God, how could you be bigger than Him?
Yeah.
The attack is supposed to come forcefully, because the kingdom suffereth this violence. It's part of our walk. But again, every experience becomes your anointing. It's the oil that God is pressing out of you. The oil. Let the oil be pressed. Glory to God. Don't be depressed.
Yes, the growing pain. Think about kids when they need be hurting and stuff, and when they growing, they don't feel good. That oil being pressed can't, you know, if we think about it in a fleshly way, being pressed don't feel good. But it's producing something. It's producing something.
I was at the gym earlier today, and I was, my goal was to do 12 sets or 12 reps each set. And I got to 12, and it was burning. Wow. It was hurting. But I got to 15, pushed through it, because that's when you see the progress.
Yeah,
so it's all a struggle to see. You know, the caterpillar. Caterpillar is in that cocoon, and it struggles to get out. It's not an easy thing for the caterpillar to get out of that cocoon. So it's working its wings. It's working. But once it gets out, it's beautiful. And flies
that's why
away.
I don't nobody want to, everybody want to stay in their comfort zone because they don't want to feel no pressure. They don't want no conflict. They don't want no problems. But we got to welcome it. You know what I'm saying? Be open
to it
because that's how we overcome.
That's right.
Yeah, grow.
Praise the Lord. Amen. If there are not any more closing thoughts, we're going to close in prayer. Sister Hawanda, if you would be kind enough to take us to the throne of grace and mercy.
Hallelujah. I thank you, Yah, for taking us from level to level as we go into Bible study, that it continues to get better and better. I thank you for the seeds that were sown on today. Hallelujah. And I thank you for watering as people began to speak about their testimonies and their situations and their circumstances, knowing that when we share those things that we are pressed in those situations, and it produces perseverance, it produces power, it produces anointing, because we know without your anointing, nothing is happening, because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. So I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for the pressing. I thank you for the beating. Hallelujah. I thank you for our trials and our tribulations. You say to give thanks in all things, so we just thank you for every situation and circumstance.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for every no, hallelujah, knowing that the no can be the best thing that ever happened to us. So help us. We just ask for your help in every situation in our life, that you begin to change us and transform us and renew us and keep us on that potter's wheel and continue to make us and mold us in your likeness and your image. Even when we don't understand what it looked like, hallelujah, help us to be okay to not know everything, hallelujah, because you said now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So help us to be okay with not seeing what you are doing, because sometimes you're working it out on the inside.
Hallelujah.
It may not be an outward experience. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But we know that what you are doing on the inside will last. Hallelujah. So I thank you for working our situations from the inside out, and that you are getting to the root of our situations and our circumstances, so that we don't continue to be like the insane person and go through the same situation over and over and over again. Hallelujah. I thank you that we are taking our L's, which we call lessons, on today, hallelujah, because there's no losses in you, hallelujah. Everything that we are growing through is making us better. It's making us stronger. It's making us wiser, hallelujah. So I thank you for giving us wisdom on how to move forward in life, hallelujah, that we will be an impact for somebody else, hallelujah, that lives will be changed because of our presence, hallelujah, that deliverance will take place because of our presence and not because of us, because of the presence and your presence that's on the inside of us, because you said greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I thank you for giving us a firm foundation in this season, hallelujah, that we can be like that house built with brick that's up under the ground, hallelujah, and not a house built with sand, hallelujah, that will blow away when the storm comes. I thank you that we are deeply rooted in you and in your word, because that's the only way that we will live, hallelujah. So I thank you for helping us to die to this flesh daily, because death is necessary, hallelujah. So as we die, to this flesh, we know that we can live with you forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That we put away our own selfish dreams and goals and plans and ambitions. Hallelujah. And we seek the things of you, you and your kingdom. Hallelujah. That we become better disciples. Hallelujah. Because you said we should be disciples and make disciples out of others. Hallelujah. So let our light so shine. Hallelujah. That men will draw and come to us. We don't have to chase. Hallelujah, that they will be drawn because of our light and it's shining so bright. This is the thing that we desire, hallelujah, less of us and more of you. So we ask that you continue to have your way in us like never before. Continue to cleanse us and purge us and wash us whiter than snow. No, creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Hallelujah. That we may present our body back to you, holy and a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Because you say without holiness, no man can see Yah. Hallelujah. We decree and declare that we want to see you. Hallelujah. We want to be called by our name. We want our name to be written in the Lamb book of life. Hallelujah. We want you to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. And we know we can't do it by ourselves. So we surrender and we lay all our burdens and our weights and every sin that easily entangle us. We lay it at your feet. Right now, hallelujah, we give our children back to you if we have taken them back in any kind of way. Hallelujah, yes, we give our situations and our circumstances back to you because we know that there's no failure in you. We can mess ourselves up, hallelujah. So we just want to make sure we're in a place of repentance, hallelujah. And I thank you that it's not just a word thing, that we're turning from our wicked ways, hallelujah. And we're being intentional about it in this season. We're going to be mindful of the things that we saying out of our mouth. We're going to be mindful about the things that we place our hands on. We're going to be mindful about the things that we watch and what we allow into our ear gates and where our feet travel in this season. Hallelujah. So we can be that light that shines brighter than anything, knowing that you are the brighter morning star. Hallelujah. So we just desire to be more like you on today.
Yes, Lord,
hallelujah.
Yes,
and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you that what's to come is better than what's been. We thank you that you're a way maker, a miracle worker. You're a promise keeper.
Lord.
Hallelujah. And your word won't return void. So we decree and declare that victory is our portion, and we are already winners. So we are going to walk worthy of the call that you already placed on the inside of us. Hallelujah. We're going to hold our head up high. Hallelujah. When the enemy wants us to put it down. Hallelujah. And walk firm on your word, not in our authority, but the authority that you already placed on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. And with your word that you remind us that we're taking back everything the enemy stole from us, and we're taking it back by force on today in the mighty name of Yahshua. And we just thank you. We 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 thank you for being a way maker. We thank you for being a miracle worker. We thank you for being a heart fixer. We thank you for being a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Hallelujah. Thank you that you won't fail us. Hallelujah. Because there's no failure in you. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. You said you never seen the righteous forsaken nor your seed begging bread. Hallelujah. So I thank you that. That everything belongs to us, and that you already gave us dominion and power. And guess what? You said greater works shall we do. So we walk into our greater right now. We receive our greater right now in the mighty name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. And I just want to pray for the leader that you have placed to watch over our soul and his beautiful wife. And I pray right now that you continue to shield them from the enemy. Hallelujah. Yes. That you hide them behind the cross. Hallelujah. And there will be no good thing that you will withhold from them. Hallelujah. As you continue to feed them so that they may feed us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I thank you that we eat on our Bible study, hallelujah, and that we come out the milk and we beginning to eat meat, hallelujah.
Yes.
That means that we are growing up in you in the
Lord,
spirit, hallelujah. That we may be the ones that can go out and do the work, because we know the work is outside of those walls. So help us. Help us to identify you in every area of our life. To help us to point out the good and not focus on the bad. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so easy to do. Help us to keep our focus stayed on you, hallelujah, knowing that you may not take us out of the storm, but that you will be right in the storm with us, hallelujah. Yeah. So we thank you for everything, you, and we give you all the glory, honor, thank and you, praise. And as we leave this place, hallelujah, but not your presence, I pray that you rain on us, that you move, yes, on us, hallelujah, yes, that you send ministering, well, angels to continue, Jesus, to minister, Jesus, to us, hallelujah, yes, even God, as we go to sleep tonight, hallelujah, so that we can focus on the man and the woman in the mirror and continue to ask, mm-hmm, him or her to change our ways, because we can't take the speck out of, mm-hmm, nobody out when we already got a log in our, mm-hmm, own,
right, hallelujah, now, yes,
hallelujah, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, hallelujah, so we just, hallelujah, say thank you that you already worked it out. Hallelujah. So I decree and declare that everything we need is already done, and it is finished, and it is so. In Yahshua's mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes to your will and yes to your way.
Hallelujah. We love you with the love of Christ. Be ready for next week, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to put
love
together
you
some for the week after for Bible study. We're going through the book of Romans. So brother, next week, Brother Tavon will jump into Romans, the 12th chapter. And I want you to prepare some things for the 13th chapter. And then, Sister Hawanda, you got to prepare some things for the 14th chapter. Praise the Lord. Because the folks on this phone are leadership.
All right.
Hallelujah.
And I got to prove the Lord had it this way for a reason. Let's pull the oil out.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You got
yes,
work
sir.
To do. Hallelujah. Love you all with the love of Christ, and I'll see you all next week.
Love you all.
Yep.
And love you.